Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Fresh back from her trip to Pittsburgh, PA for the NRA convention, attorney Penny Dean will tell us what she found out there and share with you here on Second Amendment Tuesdays on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our toll-free phone number. From everywhere, you can join in the conversation with attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live. How are you today?
Beautiful. You know, I've had this lovely, like I said, trip to Pittsburgh. I got to see, oh my gal, 400-plus exhibitors. And here's the most important thing. A lot of these places are now making pink. Okay, this is an important thing. They're making quad rails for ARs now in pink, a beautiful aluminum pink. And there's just really a lot of choices. There's new firearms. And here's the thing that I can't get over. They had tons. There's more 1911 manufacturers than Carter's Got Pills, okay? And some of them, I've never seen so much. Some of them were like $4,000 and $5,000 a piece. And I'm looking at them, nothing against these manufacturers, but I'm saying, tell me what makes that gun worth $4,000. You know, I'm the first to pay real money for a gun, but I can't tell you what makes that better than the others.
Right.
Neither could they. They couldn't tell me. So it looks
okay.
If you can't tell me why it's better, then I'm not knowing about that. I'm gonna rethink, you know, paying all that money for that type of thing. But I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful trip out there, and this is a sign when it's going to be a good trip. At the first time I need gas, I said, okay, I'll take the next exit and get some gas. So I pull off the interstate and look directly my left. There's a gun store.
Oh, nice.
So I said, well, that's a sign I have to go in this gun store, right? Because I have to know where the gas station is, and they'll tell me where the gas station is.
Sure.
Right? So I have to go in there. So you know, I get a nice trip. I go out there. They have a continuing legal education seminar all day on Friday for attorneys. So there's like 260 attorneys from all across the country who are firearm attorneys or at least interested in firearms.
Okay.
And I sat next to Alan Corwin. I don't know if you guys know Alan Corwin. He does almost all the firearm laws in the country. He has a huge publishing house that publishes or at least distributes them. And he's written a new book. It's called The Gun's Hot and the Perp's Not. What Do I Do Now? And the funny thing, it's a really great title and a really great book. And the funny thing is, when I read it, I thought, I wish I would have written that book. It was one of the books that was in my head to write. What a great book. So there's that. I sat next to Alan Corwin. You know, they had all the normal who's the firearm world in the room. It was pretty fun. The other thing I came back with was a couple free books. And whenever you come back with books, really good books are hard to find. Really good books. And one is called Concealed Carry Fundamentals, and it's by a Michael Martin. And I don't know Michael Martin, and I get no money for touting his book, if you will.
Okay.
So I always tell people that. You know, I have no financial interest in that. But the book says Concealed Carry Fundamentals. But it's a paperback book, and I think it's like $27. But the bottom line is, it is fundamentals, but there's a whole lot of things that a lot of us might know but not be able to enunciate, like perception reaction time, tunnel vision. And this shows literally dimensions of the eyes and how they work and why in fight or flight situations you may not be able to scan the horizon. And it talks about the physiological effects of adrenaline and endorphins and the structure of the eye and just some incredible information really across the board about concealed carry and shooting. And it, you know, it starts with Browning and goes through, you know, a mental checklist. And let me tell you why this is a really good thing to have. Is some people have family attorneys or other attorneys that they may choose to use for whatever reason in a self-defense case or anything. Now, I don't know that that's always the best choice. I always say you need a person who has experience in every field. But this could help a non-firearm familiar attorney to go, okay, the mental checklist talks about what are my options, what cover or barriers available, where do I move off the line, how do I draw from the holster, what commands, and they can use that as a checklist if their client's charged in a self-defense case to go down and say, okay, here's the things my client did in this sequence and why. Because the things that you and I think of as normal and things that we know are really not known to others. They're really, really the subject of someone who's an expert or who has prior experience in the field. Because the bottom line is, it might seem obvious to say, you know, that there are more ear witnesses than eyewitnesses in self-defense situations. A lot of people don't know those things.
Right, and you and I have talked about that before, especially with having to, watch your mouth, given the fact that there are these ear witnesses, you know, choosing your words carefully in that type of a situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing to think about is that if you're involved in situations like this, is that you may need experts. And I always tell people, the day you want your knee worked on isn't the day to start calling, hey, any doctors got some time available to fix my knee? Hey, anybody out there? You know, what are you going to get? You have to plan these type of things just like you plan every other thing in your life. And so I tell people that you really need all sorts of experts on board. You need memory experts on board. You need self-defense experts on board. You need what I call eyewitness experts on board. One of the greatest ones was a man by the name of Solomon Fulero. And Dr. Fulero was an expert on eyewitness testimony, how notoriously unreliable it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't a whole lot of people that are really good at that in this world.
Oh, tell me about it. Anyone who's been involved in any kind of a car accident and try to get a report from an eyewitness from three different people, you're going to get three different stories.
That's exactly right. I don't know if you've ever seen the one where they have all these people doing the bouncing ball thing and they have a gorilla walk through the scene. Have you ever seen this one?
I don't think so.
It's a really great thing. And everyone, if I find a link, I'll send it to you so you can post it on your website for listeners. And this is to tell you, and this is really important, and it relates to self-defense and shooting. They have a bunch of people in a room, okay, and they say, we want you to count how many times these girls, and they have these girls who are 15, 16, 17, 18, two opposing basketball teams. And they tell everyone, they said, we want you to watch them and tell us how many times they bounce the basketball. Okay, in other words, you're going to watch a short clip and, you know, people at the end of it say, oh, they bounced it 12 times, oh, they bounced it 16 times, whatever the number is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And while everyone is so busy counting, they have a gorilla, meaning a full-size person in a gorilla suit, walk through the middle of these ball players. Nobody notices it. Okay, so you have two opposing teams with different colored pennies on, right, bouncing the basketball, moving around, and you're supposed to count the number of times the balls bounce. Okay, so the bottom line is, you say, how do people who are sitting in a very calm room with no distractions, no one bothering them, how is it that a full-size gorilla walks in between these girls and nobody notices?
And the wow.
You're saying that couldn't happen. And you can show it to people, and they miss it. So the person who did the video to show people, you know, because they'll sometimes show it to a group of people, some of which have seen it before, he's now upped how he does it. And here's what he does now. I saw the most recent update of it. While he's doing that, they change the color of the curtains in the background. In other words, they go from green to gold to red, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, nobody notices because they're fixated on this basketball, right? How many times is it bouncing?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things. He actually literally, you know, and you're saying, how can you not miss a gorilla walking through? You know, how do you miss that? And so I tell people, okay, this is, you know, room, we're calm, we're all sitting there, if you will, watching a movie. And it's only, you know, a minute long, not even a minute long, a few seconds long. Nobody's in fear for their life. Nobody's scanning going, oh, my God, who's going to shoot me next, right?
Uh-huh.
And so think about in a self-defense situation, when you get tunnel vision, it's just like that. You're focused on that basketball. All you care about is how many times that basketball bounces, right? You're not looking at anything around you. And the reason that's important is because they will say to people involved in a shooting, or even a brandishing, you know, if they're truly, you know, they're in fear for their life and they're forced to brandish or point. And they'll say, how come you didn't see the people on the side? There was a police officer on the side waving his hands to help you. How could you miss that? And the answer is because you are so focused on one thing that at this point you believe is the difference between life and death, that everything else just simply isn't there for you.
Your fear instincts, your whole body, all the senses of your body are looking at this object that is threatening you.
Absolutely.
This is why if you look at bank robbers, their bank tellers go through this kind of training. When somebody robs a bank, you know, they'll play videos, you know, scenarios and stuff. Everybody will say, well, what did the guy look like? I don't know, but he had a black gun. And that's all they see is the black gun in this guy's hand. They don't see what color eyes did he have, what did he have, or, you know, sometimes, you know, robbers will put like a Band-Aid on their nose, and people fixate on that Band-Aid and forget all the other facial and hair features and what have you.
And you want me to tell you what? And this is so, and people say, no, I'm real observant. This would never happen to me. And I had a very wise law school professor who engaged in an experiment and made fools of the entire class, I might add. And what he did was during a lecture one day, we had been talking about eyewitness testimony, and most of the class, quite frankly, didn't believe him. They said, that's crazy. If I'm just an observer to a shooting, I'll be able to describe the shooter or the people. I'm really good at that type of thing. And all these people were saying that. And so what he did was one day, in the middle of a lecture, he had prearranged that a gentleman quietly walked in the room, handed him a note, stayed for a second or two, and walked out. About 10 minutes later, the professor says, okay, just so you know, I've just tricked you guys. He says, that guy coming in was a plant. He was an experiment. He said, none of you guys were under stress. You're all brighter than average. You're all supposed to be paying attention. So I want everyone to tell me, did that man have a beard or not? Guess what? No one could agree. And most of us were wrong, by the way. He said, did the guy have a T-shirt or a tank top on? these are basic things, right? Did the guy have black hair, blonde hair, or purple hair?
Oh, my.
You know, and these are, you know, was the guy 5'8"? Was he 6'2"? How tall was he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, and those are basic descriptive things. You're not asking to say what color his nail polish was. He wasn't wearing any. But, you know, for goodness sakes, all sorts of things. And the bottom line was no one could come up with that information, not accurately. And there was very strong disagreement in the room. There are people, I'm positive he was clean-shaven. I'm positive he had a mustache. And so that really gets into why you see sometimes innocent people charged with crimes, or more importantly, in a self-defense case, why if you don't take pictures right away of the area of people in it, what happens are all the witnesses in certain areas particularly just blend into the woodwork and get the hell out of there. You'll never find them again. You know, and the ones that do all disagree on who did what when.
Mm.
You know, so it's really an important thing to understand. So I tell people anymore, with today's cell phones, okay, if you're involved in something like that, you want to have a cell phone with the largest memory, the largest battery, the largest everything you can carry around. Because if you're involved with something like that, if you have the presence of mind to very quickly do a video of the area, you can then save it because you may catch a witness or a piece of evidence that you didn't realize is there.
No kidding. Wow, how about that? Well, Penny Dean, let's take our time out right here. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live. And I think what you just spelled out, I hope people are thinking about this because, as you say, plan ahead. One of those plans even is, you know, who will you have represent you? And I know you kind of alluded to that in the beginning, but that's why when somebody is selecting an attorney, this, what you just told us, gives people some points to interview a prospective attorney to make sure that they are going to be able to mount all the right vigorous defenses. And how do they understand these types of things? Yeah, not, and I mean, I know you and I are only scratching the surface here with all the things that go into a case.
Absolutely, and I always tell people is, for example, there are bankruptcy attorneys, there are personal injury attorneys, there's all types of attorneys out there. And I tell people, because I've watched a couple cases done with attorneys who I think are good attorneys, but in my opinion they did horrible jobs in self-defense cases, because there's just a plethora of things that they don't understand. I saw a very well-respected attorney I think is a good attorney clearly not understand the difference between .22 rimfire and .22 centerfire during a very important trial. You know, and anybody who understands shooting goes, the difference between a .22 rimfire and a .22 centerfire is huge, in addition to the method of ignition. It's also the size. 22 rimfire tends to be, 37 grains or so. You know, the what I call the 22 centerfire, the 220 swift, the 223, all of those, you're talking about an entirely different animal.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was clear to me, and actually the person who was being defended, who was a very wise firearm person, was literally like waving at their attorney, going like, get over here, what the heck are you doing? And the bottom line was, it's one of those cases where sometimes you don't know what you don't know, if that makes sense.
Sure, I got you. Well, 1-866-823-1077. You can find out the answers to your questions here with Attorney Penny Dean. Second Amendment Tuesdays continues here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.